Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey everybody, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paik.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the Netflix show Sweet Tooth.
This week we are covering season 2, episode 2, titled Into the Deep Woods.
And we kind of got an explanation into that. We did kind of go back into the deep woods a little bit, got to revisit. That was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Because I think I mentioned last week, I had to look it up a little bit while we were recording. Yeah, that the pilot episode of season 1 was titled Into the Deep Woods, right? Or Out of the Deep Woods. And then This one's Into. And so it's kind of, we start with Gus at the cabin and he makes his way out. He leaves with Big Man at the end of that first episode. And here we have, like you said, we're going back. We're through Dr. Singh's flowery hallucinogenic acid trip. He has to go back to the cabin. And even at the end of the episode, him and the other kids kind of make this plan to go back to the cabin. If they see that plan through, who knows? But that's kind of where they're at. So, yeah.
Right. Right. That's the plan anyway. We'll see if that actually comes through or not. What'd you think of this week's episode? Did you like it?
I did. I thought it was really good. It is interesting that they're doing kind of a thing, because I noticed it's like we didn't get any, Big Man or Amy really in the first episode, and this time like we got mostly them, a little bit of the kids, but then I was like, we got nothing with Abbott. We didn't get any of the follow up with that stuff.
Right.
We got very little Becky, just like again like little pieces of her. No Birdie. No. So they're kind of more focused each episode on like one story more than others, like with a little bit of side stuff, but I enjoyed that. There's one thing that I'm still on the fence on about this episode. I'll get to that in a point, but
okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that then. Yeah, I agree. I liked this episode too. I'm glad we got a little bit more into what's going on with some of the other characters in the show, but There's, and I'm not saying that I dislike it or like it more one way or another, but noticing the differences where season 1, we got a lot of episodes with just Gus and Big Man and their journey.
Yeah.
And the people that they met along the way and the different towns or different places or people that they met and visited. I really liked that part of season 1.
I did a lot, too. I thought about that even last week where, thinking back to that episode in season 1 where they're at the cabin with that family and Gus is bonding with that other little boy and he's dancing to the music, and it almost feels like in season 2 it's a different show. Like you almost don't feel like that was the same show back then. So yeah, it's
exactly. you said exactly what was in my brain. So I'm not saying that I dislike it. It's just a little different than I think what we grew to love in season 1, and it does feel a little bit different. So I think I always kind of struggle a little bit when, and it's any show where you've got like these certain characters that are together and spend time together, or they go on a journey together and we meet more characters and you start to care about them, and then in like another season they all spend time apart. They're all separated and trying to like find each other again, or they're going on these different journeys. I always struggle, I think, a little bit with when we hit that part in a show, and I'm just like, I just want everybody to be together again, I struggle with that personally, so maybe that's where I'm kind of like, it just feels a little different. That's okay. There are still a lot of things to love about the show and things that are great. So with that being said, why don't you go ahead and kick us off tonight with your first point?
All right. Let's see. First one, I wanted to talk about Ronnie Singh.
Yes, let's
and do it. More theories and speculation and thinking about what her story is going to be this season. But I think we got some seeds planted in this episode. I think this episode is the beginning of, I don't know exactly what to call it. Like, in my notes, I call it, like, the cracking of Ronnie, but I don't know if that's it. But, like, yeah, where she's kind of crumbling apart a little bit at, like, everything that she thought was going on. And I have seen a lot of dislike for her online in different places, and people, you know, viewing mm-hmm. her as selfish, and she's bad and morally awful for, you know, being grateful about this, like, secret sauce thing that her husband is doing at the, you know, expense of the hybrid kids. And, yeah, I mean, I get that that definitely is not great. We've talked about how it's a pretty horrible situation. Mm-hmm. However, I will take a note in defense of Ronnie, especially this episode, through her responses to different things we saw in this episode. I think it's very safe to say that she did not have any inclination of the intelligence and capabilities of the hybrid. She says she's never seen one. She's never encountered one. To her, they were these mutant human animals that were just animalistic and completely, you know, like, she did not realize they had a humanity to them. She did not realize that they actually were like human children. And we see her kind of putting those clues together and seeing things throughout this episode where Johnny says something about, like, one of them even talked. And, like, you can see the horror in her face when she realizes, like, wait, what did you say? Like, you know, like, I didn't know they had the capability is what she says. And even she's looking around the room, and especially there at the end of the episode where she picks up that drawing from Wendy and realizes that the hybrid kid that she had looked down at and kind of made eye contact with, this little pig girl, is the one that drew this, has this creative mind, and even wrote to Mom that there's this connection, this human connection. And you see her starting to realize the truth of these hybrids. And she she's working that charm on Johnny to get some of that, which I thought was funny, kind of manipulating mm-hmm. him. I still like Johnny for some reason, but he's not the brightest bulb, right?
yeah.
You know, she compliments his beautiful plating of the toast. And
which and, looks awful, yeah, just, by the way.
Right. And then he spills the different beans about the intelligence of the hybrids, like I said. And then when she asks to see them for herself, and I like that, you know, she takes a metaphorical different toast spread and butters him up.
nice one.
You know, where she's like, I thought you said you were in charge. You know, she's kind of playing him a little bit. But she's wanting to investigate the reality and truth of these hybrids. And I feel like she's going to have a realization about this very soon, if she already is starting to have that realization. And I think the arc for her, what I would hope to see, is that she confronts her husband. She confronts Addie and tells him, no, we have to stop. You're not hurting them for my sake. You know, maybe we get this character turn if she becomes like Ronnie the Revolutionary, right? Like, in her last bits of life, she turns and helps fight for the hybrids, you know? It's just speculation and theories of what we can do with this story, but I think we planted some seeds of her realizing that what they are doing, that she's been so grateful and thankful for, is not a good thing. And I do think that she's going to have a corner to turn. Maybe, you know, I think she's going to want to try to get out. Addie is very, you know, he's putting a lot of trust into Gus. And if these kids escape like they're planning to, Addie's probably going to have to get out of there as well. Because Abbott's not going to be happy if the kids are gone, and what use does he have for the Sings? And Ronnie's going to probably agree on having to get out away from the last men, but maybe even get away from Addie himself. Like, is there going to be a level of, like, distrust and anger towards her husband for not telling her the capabilities of these children and what he was really doing? So, yeah, there's a big corner for her that I think is coming.
I agree with everything that you said. I'm happy to see I'm not alone kind of in that line of thinking.
Yeah.
Ronnie's also one of my points. So if you're done with your point, I'll go ahead and jump into mine and just add to what you said and my own thoughts. And I'll be the first to admit, I think I can't remember everything that I said when we covered season one, but I know I really came down pretty hard on Ronnie. So I'm definitely, you can lump me in that group. And, you know, even with the start of this season, which we're really just, a couple episodes in, so not a whole lot to look at yet, but in the second episode, I'm with you. I feel like there's, at least for me, because I did come so down on her and, like, not even thinking about where this, like, it's not a fix, it's not a cure, but this temporary measure, the secret sauce that, you know, Addie was providing to her, like, she did seem very selfish. So all the things that you said, I agree, I was kind of lumped into that too and really gave her a hard time. But I feel like this episode, we are seeing a corner turned, that there's going to be, at least in my opinion, in my view of her, a little bit of a redemption for maybe some of that behavior, because she was looking at the crayon drawings, you know, learning that they can speak, and, you know, thinking about them being a little bit more human than just wild animals, you know. And I think we all, to a point, are able to compartmentalize certain things. And, you know, thinking about, and if you try and put yourself in the shoes of someone in that time, and the propaganda that was probably going out to all the people about the hybrids, you know, they're the cause of the sick, they're dangerous, or they're wild animals, you know, it's and the information wasn't available like maybe it is now, where you'd learn that wasn't true. So you're basing everything off of that propaganda that's being fed to you. So of course people would believe that. And you could probably put Ronnie in that group too, that this is what she kind of believes. She didn't know that they could speak, which I don't know that was a well-known thing anyway.
I think
a lot of people,
everyone who has met Gus has been shocked.
You're right.
Yeah. But yeah, even nowadays, I think, you know, and depending on who you talk to, different people are still going to have different levels of moral, you know, stuff with it, which is fine. That's fine. But I mean, like me, if I found I had some horrible disease that is killing me, and you said, but if I go pluck I could pluck a squirrel out of a tree every day and they're going to die, but then you're cured for a week or something. Most people, you know, I feel like, you know what, I can deal with that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But if it becomes a second grader from the elementary school down the street, you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's
where
fine.
I draw the line.
Yeah, you know, so
well,
that's
exactly
kind of where that is. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, that there in this world, and that's why I have to try and, like, okay, well, let's try to put yourself in Ronnie's shoes, or at least the shoes of someone in that world after the big crumble, right? And all the propaganda that's being fed about how they keep dehumanizing the hybrids and people thinking of them as just like these feral animals. And I think what you said is just right. And I'm, you know, people can justify really shitty behavior towards, you know, animals, you know, because it's, you know, a necessary evil for something. Like, you know, we know that a lot of the medications and things that we have today are because of animal testing, which I'm so against, just personally speaking, you know, and some folks might be okay with that, you know, but even if you're against that, if you're okay with, like, eating meat and knowing how, you know, certain animals are treated, and, you know, how you're helping that industry by consuming, you know, that, and I'm not judging. I eat meat, so I'm not, like, judging anyone that does. So, but I mean, everyone finds a way to kind of deal with that and compartmentalize those kinds of things, right? So I think that's just kind of where Ronnie was, you know, as far as, you know, maybe what she did know, or maybe what she was in denial about the hybrids or something. I'm not sure if I'm clear on what she believed beforehand, or what she thought, or even what she knew. But I do agree that I think that, you know, she's kind of coming to a realization, and especially seeing Wendy face to face, you know, and being like, wow, you know, and we, you know, we've met Tommy, who looks very animal-like and has more animal features, but he can speak. But then Wendy, you know, looks like a half-human, you know, half-pig, Gus, half-deer, half-human, you know, and he can speak. And so that to me would be very hard if, and I'm only speaking in for myself, but if I know that I'm looking at like a face-to-face human, human-esque animal hybrid that can speak, I'd have a little bit of distaste of, okay, I don't feel so good now about where the secret sauce is coming from what I'm gaining from that. So just speaking for myself, you know, I think that's probably where she's going. And she's like, huh, you know, and I wonder if she's going to be maybe instrumental in trying to help them.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with what you said. I think with like Johnny, she's going to try to continue charming him a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, and might end up helping them. So I don't know. But I find it to be interesting because, you know, with that whole spiel, it was basically me just trying to kind of understand where Ronnie had been coming from and try to, like, you know, say, oh, I shouldn't have been so hard on her in, you know, in season one. And I should have spent more time with thinking about what it was like in that world and the, you know, the information that was being put out there about the hybrids and why, you know, it was easy to just kind of look at them as wild animals, you know, and not have been so hard.
Yeah.
And how we're all able to just kind of like, you know, like you said, oh, it's okay for the squirrel, but oh, don't go grab a kid, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Good analogy. I think you summed it up and said it way better. But just trying to like understand a little bit, and because everything, I was thinking about it watching the episode again. It's like everything's so gray. There's just not a whole lot of black and white, you know, with this show. You know, it's hard to just stand so firm on one side. You can really start to see, you know, where the characters are coming from and their motivations behind some of their actions or behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good point. I like that. What's your next point?
All right. The next one is just something really quick, but I just wanted to spend a little more time on the kids, the hybrid kids, and kind of their up and down little roller coaster of emotions that they went through this episode.
For sure.
Oh, man. Again, the dog, the stuffed animal showing up in the food, which we get an answer to that, which that's good. we know why that was there. And of course, with that, as we saw at the end of the first episode too, the kids have this renewed hope that, oh, that's, you know, mom and the big man, and they're coming to rescue us. So they start preparing for this rescue and this escape. They got to get Bobby's collar off. he's like, the collar. They want to try to bond together. You know, nobody else can be taken before they get here. So, yeah, and then we can meet Roy. And I'm like, oh, God. You know, boy. You see Gus and Wendy share this really uneasy look. Like, awkward. Let's just move past that one for now.
R.I.P. Roy.
Yeah, and where to go? What are we going to do? What's the plan? Wendy's thinking, well, we'll go to Gus's old place. And at that time, Gus wants no part of that. He does come around on that a little bit later after his trip. But at the time, he's still got these like negative feelings towards the cabin and towards where he came from. And then as they continue on through the episode trying to plan, they're still working on getting Bobby's collar off, which they just couldn't. And you notice then in that moment, like you have that like real heart, like, oh, moment where Bobby says, I'll stay behind. He's willing to stay behind in order for everyone else to get away safely. And I'm like, okay, at this moment, I'm going to need people to get all the way over on Team Bobby. how do you not be on Team Bobby after that?
Yes. I agree. I think I'm firmly on Team Bobby right now. Yeah.
And then they just keep the planning. And then they're listening over the radios. They can hear the radios of the last men chattering back and forth with the, you know, the drone chasing and all these things. And then just the sheer disappointment and frustration that these kids have when they hear the reports that the truck has left the city. They flee the city and they're just heartbroken. Why did they leave us? Why did they, you know, and it's, it's tough to see. And so, you know, they start at such a high and then like a low with Bobby, but then like, you know what, we're going to bond together and keep going anyway. And then to get hit with that, and then everything just seems hopeless and sad. But then Gus comes back in, which he's wondering why they're still there. But Gus, always clever, falling on the crayons so he can snag some of them. And I said, you know, after this little trip that he went on, he has changed his mind on Yellowstone and now thinks maybe him and the others should try to seek refuge there. He draws them those details, gives them something to look forward to. So again, raising their hopes back up. I think I mentioned this last week, he's finding himself in this leadership position and Gus is evolving into a different person. He's really growing and maturing probably faster than he ever expected to, but he's found mm-hmm. himself really as kind of this like light for a lot of these other kids. And so then they plan, well, if they left, I don't know if they're coming back. So the kids decide they're just going to have to escape and get out on their own. And I'm interested to see how that goes, knowing that like Becky's kind of on the trail and we have Ronnie with the speculations that I'm thinking maybe her might come up with some kind of plan. And we know that Amy and Big Man are planning on coming back with reinforcements. So it's like, there's like all these different parts where it's like, how is it all going to play out? Are people just going to miss each other? Are they going to have to work together? What does it mean when everybody's got their own different unique plans? I hope the best, but as far as for a dramatic TV show, maybe the best isn't what we're going to get all the time.
At least not for a little bit. There will be some hijinks or something there in the middle to keep everyone, I'm sure, probably separate for a couple more episodes. Because, they don't have any way of knowing any of their agendas. Like, they don't know any, you know, they don't know Becky's alive, but Big Man's like, oh, I bet she made it out. Yeah. So we know that, but no one else knows that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't know that Big Man will be back, but Gus is like, you know, well, he wouldn't have, I loved when Gus said, well, he wouldn't have left if he didn't have to, like something must have happened. You know, he would have been here to get me. And I think everyone is pretty confident of Amy's love for all of the hybrids and that they wouldn't have abandoned the breakout, you know, if something hadn't went haywire.
Right.
But yeah, it's like they can't really sit around and wait anymore. So yeah, it probably won't happen anytime soon, because no one has any way to communicate anyone's agendas and their plans. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I agree. Yep. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the kids come up with. I think we speculated last week, like, you know, it'd be cool because you feel like all the kids' unique skills and abilities are going to come into play. So I think hopefully, I haven't watched yet, but hopefully maybe even in the next episode, maybe we'll get to see them put a plan together and how they're all going to use their unique, you know, skills and abilities to break out maybe.
Yeah, we mentioned, I'd like to say, I mean, we have like, just trying to like, off the top of my head, I don't have this in a note, but think, I mean, you have like the brains and the planning and the critical thinking of like Gus and Wendy. You have Maya the monkey with like her tail and her quickness and stuff like that. We have the rabbits who like super hearing. We have the mimicry of I think Haley the bird, you know, different things like that. So there's like things we can plant. The strength of Earl the elephant. I guess if they need a stink bomb, they got Skunk Boy too. So, you know, whatever they need. <it's
there. laughs> You know, you just never know when that might come in handy.
Right.
They'll find a use for that skill.
Yes.
Or ability somewhere, I'm sure. If nothing else, just for the jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The hybrids were super cute. I didn't have them as a specific point, but knew we'd probably talk about them in, you know, just general conversation as they were definitely a part of the story this week. But yeah, it was difficult, their emotional journey that they were going through. It was hard to watch. You know, mm-hmm. I felt really bad for them. They really thought help was on the way. And then to see them get so, you know, deflated when they knew that, you know, Big Man and Amy had left the city. But then Gus comes in and he's like, you know, it's okay. You know, something had to have happened. You know, it wasn't like they don't care about us. It was because something had to have happened to prevent that. And then he finds a way to lift them up and, you know, gives them some kind of hope and something to like look forward to, you know, by, you know, going to their home. And it was, a lot of growth coming from Gus. because he wanted to escape the cabin so bad. You know, mm-hmm. you'd see him try so hard in season one, trying to leave and be curious about what was outside around him, and then never wanting to go back because of like the bad memories of like with what happened with Pubba and stuff, yeah. and now wanting to go back and kind of seeing that growth in this, you know, moment for him. So, yeah, it's good to see. My next one, it's kind of short because we didn't get a whole lot of it, but I did want to kind of mention what I really enjoy about these stories, and what we got in this episode was some backstory
mm-hmm.
with Jeppard. And yeah. I mean, we already had learned he was a football player and very well known and probably very good considering his size. And, you know, we got some of his backstory before, but we got to see a little bit more. And I always find these really interesting because I'm always really interested of like what happens in the days after like society falls.
Right.
You know, like, wow, what happened? And how did we get, you know, like where we are in the story, like with the last men and what's left of society? How did we get to that point? Where was the start of that? So I love when we get to see glimpses of that, and I always find it really interesting. So I was excited to see some of his backstory and how things kind of started off for him. We didn't get a huge picture, but again, when we talk about, or whenever I was talking about, you know, not everything is so black and white, you know, he's faced, at least what we saw in season one, you know, when people would catch glimpses of his, it's not a tattoo, but it's like a branding, right? Yeah. The last man branding that they have on their chest. You know, he would always keep his shirts, you know, to cover that up. But if anyone caught glimpses of it, people who knew what that meant were like, you know, very judgmental of him. And he's like, hey, I did what I had to do to survive. And that makes sense. We've seen how harsh this world is, you know, and it didn't necessarily mean that he was really a bad person for joining, but it did make you wonder, well, how did that start? How did he get there? And what were the circumstances? And that's what we got in this flashback. And I was really excited to see that, how it started. It was really sad to see him and how desperate he was in the search mm-hmm. for his wife and baby. That was really heartbreaking. And how lost he seemed.
Yeah.
And then when he goes to this like meeting or rally, you know, whatever's going on, and he sees his old coach,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And it looked like maybe a lot of other people that he coached, because people in the crowd were like calling him coach.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, were all of these former players, or, you know, or does he just say, call me coach? I don't know. But
he never outgrew that. Even after the apocalypse, he's like, I'm still coach.
I'm still coach. That still means something. I don't know. But it makes sense that he's the one giving this speech, you know, and kind of rallying people up, because that's kind of what he did before, right? So that makes sense. But boy, did I have some, you know, considering like current state of events, you know.
Yeah. No, I have I'll call it out. Like, I'm watching this and I was like, this like meeting, this rally, it was like, it gave very white supremacy rally vibes, even though that's not what this is here, but it was clearly, right. It's an allegory for it in the form of like anti-hybrid humanists instead of like nationalists, you know, like it's very,
yeah,
you can see the, you know, what they're,
there's,
you know,
the parallels,
yeah,
there.
you can see the yeah. parallels that they're showing and making with that. You're like, oh yeah. But then with somebody like Jeppard being so lost and desperate and scared and alone and needing something to hold on to, you see it shows that even good people can get sucked into and pulled into those kind of things just because they need something and someone to hold on to. I mean, you see he already has this like sense of unease with some of their rhetoric and tactics pretty early on, mm-hmm. but yeah, so it was a good way of showing like how easy those kind of things can happen and people can get caught up in them, even with the best of intentions.
Exactly. Yeah, that was, I was like, oh yeah, this, you know, that's a little disturbing, you know, and I'm sure that's maybe what their message was in showing us that. And you can see, you know, like we were talking about his desperation for his family, and that maybe by joining this group, this group of last men, you know, there's hope to find his family or find out what happened to his family, to get some closure, you know, because they're going to have some kind of authority, and that's the way to, you know, get somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
you could tell it seems kind of distasteful to him, you know, the idea of it anyway, or at least that's kind of just what I got from the look on his face anyway. Yeah. You know, he doesn't seem to be thrilled about it, but thinks that, well, this will get me what I need, or some answers that I need in order to go on. So it made sense. And to see, because, yeah, you see the last men in this story do just absolutely horrific things. And, you know, but I think we talked before, like, you know, you kind of see that probably not every single person in the last men is a bad person.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of circumstances, you know, they joined, you know, were for. But I'm sure there's some really terrible, horrific people also. So it's you kind of see both sides there. So I was excited to see some of Big Man's backstory and kind of get a little explanation there, kind of see how he ended up a part of, you know, that group, and you know, how we got that start. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
What is your next point?
All right, I'm going to talk about Addie and Gus on Gus's flower trip here. talk about, yeah, Gus's mental journey thanks to these flowers. I was like, man, look at Sig making things happen. He needs that aviary that Ronnie was being kept in for the flower experiment. So he gets him and his wife set up in Amy's old loft bedroom, it looked like. Just getting what started some of the Ronnie stuff that I talked about earlier. And then I have a note where I was just like, Johnny goes to get Gus for the experiment. Oh, that makes that sound really scary. Let me reword that. Gus is going to go hang out with Addie and get real high. No, I don't know if that's better.
Nope.
don't know if that's any better. but no. And of course, the kids are worried that, you know, Gus is still going to be gone when the adults come back for him. Which, unfortunately, didn't happen. We talked about that. But, yeah. I like that the show gave a little bit more TV-styled science behind this flower plan. That, yes, it is hallucinogenic, but also Addie refers to it as more like hypnosis, where he's treating it like a hypnotism therapy kind of thing, where he's going to lead Gus through his memories while he's hypnotized to get the dear boy, little pun there, but get him to access these blocked memories and things that he typically couldn't remember to get the answers that he wants. And so he's trying to calmly walk him through these things, but Gus is worried about his friends, worried about the other kids, worried about all these things going on, worried about Big Man. And so this, like, science route and calm route and even threatening the others a little bit isn't working so well. So Addie kind of breaks down that barrier, and he goes for just honesty and sincerity in the appeal to the heart with Gus, where he tells him those lines. He says, I'm a prisoner too, just like you. My life is threatened every moment. I don't have the answers. But I think we can help each other, Gus. Will you help me? He's appealing to him and that helpful, loving nature that he has. And it works for the most part. You know, he continues to push him forward. And it does. It gets kind of scary, as Gus says. It got scary there. Not just the things that he sees, but even Addie, which it's part of the, like, hallucination was doing that. But whenever he would, like, be cautious or like, I don't want to talk about this anymore, I don't want to look at this anymore, and Addie would yell, no, we're gonna go, but then the voice distortion was no, you know, and it's just a very,
yeah,
it was like, this ominous, is yeah, terrifying. But I mean, Addie is so close to the answers, so at this point he's just pushing and pushing, and he was so convinced that Bubba was the brilliant scientist behind Gus that he keeps pushing that direction. But then once he realizes that's not the case, where he's just like, he wasn't like you. He didn't have any of that stuff. He hid me here just because he loved me, and that's all it was. Which then is Gus realizing more about Pubba, that he's held this anger for the lies and some of the things that he's... This was cathartic for Gus, in a way, to let go of, like, some of that anger. And
it's like a therapy session.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bit, yeah.
So, you know, we're pushing further back and further back to find the origin of our adorable antlered hero. I noticed that Pubba in this dream is the scarecrow-like version that Gus had built after Pubba had died, And I was like, is that a creative choice, or do they just not, were they not able to get Will Forte to come back to reprise his role?
Right. You know? Scheduling issue, probably.
But yeah, and then again, Gus's trip starts taking some really bad turns for him. Again, like I mentioned, the voice altering and things seeming a lot more tense. He does dig into those pieces, you know, really important pieces for Addie, the Project Midnight Sun and Fort Smith, things like that. But it's almost like the dream did not want him to go there and pull these things out. We get this ominous figure of like a, with a big deer skull and all these things that's standing in the doorway.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
And it's just like really like pushing down on Gus until Addie like snaps him out of it and catches him out, which, you know, they have that moment where they're like laying there and he's just like, well, that got scary for a bit. And he's like, you're okay now. But then I like that little last moment we see between them. You know, thank you, Gus. You've given me something I thought I'd lost a long time ago. Your marbles? Hope. But yeah, gotta leave it up to Gus to throw in something adorable and funny.
He's so adorable. I love that kid.
So yeah, so it was really interesting to see how, yeah, this worked. That we'd seen it in season one where he kind of had talked with Pubba. But to actually see it, like, as a therapy session where Dr. Singh is leading him and guiding him through it. And even though there were some really scary moments in that, I think there was also a lot of healing that Gus needed to go through as well.
100% agree. Yeah. Because after that is when, you know, he then goes back to the cell with the kids. At the kennels, I guess they call them. God, yeah. It's so distasteful. Yeah. Think about that. But anyway, you know, and then that's when he, you know, talks to them about, you know, well, we can go where I came from. You know, that was my home, and you know, seems really inspiring about it. Like he really forgot how much he loved it there and how much he missed it, and that would be a good place for them. You know, so I think that, yeah, he wouldn't have got there if he hadn't had this session.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call it anyway, with Addie. That was actually one of my points as well. So, you know, I did not write down everything that Gus saw or experienced in like this vision or journey in this therapy session that he had with Dr. Singh. So I'm curious, you know, like, again, what the heck was that creature thing with that deer head? You know, how does that get into Gus's vision? What was the snow about? You know, there were, I think each of these things mean something, you know, because, and then how would Gus even know about some of these things, right? So how does it permeate his memories or his visions? You know, if those flowers are helping to provide these visions, like going on this like trip. So weird to think that, you know, let's go dope up the kid so
he can
take a trip in more ways than one. It's odd to think about that, but you know, how does he have this information? And then, you know, it's like, I don't know how much Dr. Singh knows. So how does he know? Like, well, this place is special. It can take you places that, you know, you didn't even know existed or that you didn't even know you could go. Like, you know, these memories are there. You just weren't exposed to them before. You weren't able to reach them before, but here you can. Like, how does he know that?
Right.
But out of that, we did get some information, which, you know, I don't remember getting a whole lot of information from season one. And if we did, I just don't recall it. Because again, I did not do a whole rewatch or anything, but we get the words Project Midnight Sun, which seemed to, like, Dr. Singh's like, okay, yeah, that's something. And then Fort Smith, did we hear that? And do you remember that?
I don't remember. I remember Gus being like an acronym for something else. Like, I remember getting the truth of like he was basically like a, you know, science experiment, like a test tube baby kind of thing, where Birdie had created him and with this hybrid DNA and stuff like that. But I don't remember if we knew that that was in Fort Smith or not, or if we had any name like Project Midnight Sun and stuff like that. Which was interesting because Addie says something like, "Oh, I had theories about this Midnight." It's like, you know, Fort Smith created. It's like, Did he mean he had theories about Fort Smith specifically? Like, were they something that's on people's radar? Or did he just mean I was theorizing that somebody created the virus and maybe the hybrids at the same time? I wasn't sure what his theory actually was, like how much he really thought he may have known.
Yeah. I don't think they were super clear about that. Maybe we'll get more. But yeah, I recall vaguely the flashbacks, like with Birdie in her early days, like how her and Pubba met and knew each other, and how all of that came about. But I don't recall if there was a name on any of the buildings where she was or in that lab where she worked. I cannot recall that. So, and it doesn't really matter, but I was just trying to think, oh crap, did we know that? Did we hear that in season one? So we got more information. There was this unknown blonde lady. At first I thought, was that Birdie? I'm like, no, wait a minute, that's not Birdie. This is some other blonde scientist lady that he is seeing. So I'm curious, who is she? So I don't know. And it'll be interesting to see what Addie's able to glean out of all of this information that he got from Gus. You know, this Project Midnight Sun and Fort Smith, where it was maybe rumored, I guess, to be where the virus was created. So I don't know. And yeah, it'll be interesting to like find out what all that, like what happened. Did the both things happen at the same time? The hybrids were created and the virus was created out of that? Were the hybrids the cause of the virus, you know, which sounds terrible, but I know that's what everyone was told. Out of all that propaganda and why everyone hated them, it seemed. So I don't know. There was a lot of things that he saw in that vision, and I was not able to put together like what any of it could mean or interpret what any of it meant. But it was pretty cool. And it was interesting to see Gus go on this little journey, and you could kind of see, like you said, that healing. So it made me really happy for him and kind of let go of, I think, some of that anger and come to a place of understanding about why Pubba did what he did. Mm-hmm. You know, he had so much anger towards him for that. So it was good to see that he kind of understood why he did what he did.
Yeah.
That was nice. Do you have any other points?
I've got one more. I had just a four this week. Yeah, but that last one, kind of a big one. I just talk Amy and Jep and their rescue and escape plans and what they plan and what actually happens. Yeah. Which we see they're both in, like, saving mode. Jep is focused on just Gus, while Amy's set on getting all of them out. Her initial plan, she says she's going to wait till midnight and then sneak them out, but then Jep just wants to barrel in and get Gus. And then it kind of flips, because then Wendy makes that call over the radio, and then Amy is like, all right, we're setting off immediately, we just got to go. And Jep's like, well, wait a minute, what if we take a more careful approach? Like, it was funny how they just, like, immediately flipped. Which, this was the thing I mentioned earlier, where I was like, I still am kind of on the fence about it. Like, not necessarily the storyline, but, like, I don't know, just like the character choices between Amy and Jeppard. Like, it seemed like through the entire episode, they were never on the same page. Like, they were just, like, always butting heads, and it felt a little forced. Like I understand, like, you know, they wanted the storytelling of two opposite characters having to work together for a common goal, but they can't seem to get on the same page. So I get what they're going for with that. But it was just like they would just keep, like, flip-flopping viewpoints a lot, or just like, well, I'm going without you, well, you can't, ah, you're right, okay, I'm going with you, but I'm not gonna like it, you know. Like, it was just very set like that the whole episode. But I mean, I didn't hate it either, so it just kind of felt weird. I was like, would they really be behaving like this the whole time? Because it was, you know, I was like, we're going right now, no we're not, yes we are, okay, but now I don't want to. You know,
I hear you.
Yeah. And then Jep throws the careful approach that he had, so then he flips right back because he's looking out the window and sees that Choco Rocket billboard, which is the candy that Gus was eating in season one, those candy bars, and so it makes him think of Gus. So then he's like, well, I'm going in too. Which, I guess, you know, the intensity that these people have for saving their kids, it's reckless and it doesn't work in the end, but I guess you gotta admire their passion, right? So the plan that we go, Amy's plan, was she was going to meet, you know, go through the tunnel all by herself, do everything on her own, and then meet Jep with the truck back there at the garage. So she sneaks in as a last man, bringing in candy, and then she almost gets made, and then Jep shows up, and then he gets made, and then Amy returns the saving favor by knocking that dude out. which I thought, again, right before that, man, you can even see, even though she's got, like, the mask and the hood on and stuff, so you really only see her eyes, she did a great job at, like, conveying some of that emotion just in the eyes, where you know it's rough for her walking through that zoo and seeing all of these memories and pieces that made it her home just being scrapped and burned and trashed as the last men are taking over. It was really kind of awful to see her have to experience all that. You know, this guy walks by and just kicks all of the crayons and everything over, and she's just like, ah. And he's like, the one guy's like tossing the artwork from the kids just into the fire barrel, and she just has to walk by it and keep on going and ignore it. Yeah, I mentioned we got the answer to how Dog got into the feed. They were in the zoo. They were so close. But their rush stunt got them made. Even if she knocked that guy out, then they're like, hey, that guy's unconscious. What's going on? Like, it's
very... Well, and this was... I didn't have a whole point about it, but I did just note about the escape from the zoo and you know, that whole scheme that you... Yeah. Talking through, I had a problem with that. I'm like, could you have at least hit his body? Like, y'all just left it right out in the open.
It's like, whew, we got out of that mess. We knocked that guy out, and then like they walk like three steps. Somebody's like, "What happened to him?" Like, oh no!
The place is crawling with last men. I mean, if we've seen anything in these first two episodes with them at the zoo, there's people around constantly. They're either constantly. You know, walking around, moving equipment. Like I said, you just said all the things like they're doing. There's constant movement, and we're always seeing people moving around. And so you just leave someone lying right there, right out in the open, not even in like a dark hallway or something. You could at least pull them behind in a dark area or behind something so it's not obvious. But I was just like, really? There's people everywhere. It's not like the place is, you know, only has a few people. They're everywhere. So that was... I just thought,
it's a little,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it's to show, you know, that they're not on the same page and it creates problems. But yeah, then it kind of becomes a little unbelievable. You got to like pack a lot of these scenes into your suspension of disbelief there. The Department of Suspension of Disbelief, we're co-opted over to this podcast for a little bit, right?
Yep.
But yeah, they do get away through the tunnel, and then have to, you know, the drones and all of that stuff. But they will get away, and they will have backup for next time. That's their plan. That's the hope. Because you see Amy kind of distraught that the kids weren't even going to know that they tried. That's what's like, how will they know? So that's where Jep stows Dog into the feed bag. Luckily, it finds its way into the trough unnoticed. Again, suspension of disbelief, because I was like, that's kind of a risky move, that you could have just gotten Dog lost forever. Like, what if the guy would have looked in the bag before pouring it and be like, the fuck is this? You know, and just thrown it, put it in the burn barrel, you know?
Risk, yeah.
And then their tunnel in and out is closed off, sealed up, and there goes that. So that's kind of, you know, they wasted that resource. So that sucks. Amy gets the truck running just in time for them to run away from the drone, which is perfect. But Jep takes that drone down eventually with Gus's slingshot and a can of vegetables. So that's kind of awesome.
I didn't see that coming.
And then also, I'm just one of the like the little nitpicks as I'm watching all these scenes as they're trying to drive away. I was like, man, the last men have stormtrooper shooting skills when they even want to pull the trigger at all.
Why did they wait so long?
Man. It was a huge chunk of the episode, and so that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm on the fence of it. Like, it's good storytelling. I see what they're doing, and it led to some fun moments and kind of pieced things together. But also, like, some of it was kind of sloppily, hastily, like, and then that happens so we can get to the next thing, you know?
I agree. I'm glad we're on the same page about that. I was like,
oh, yeah,
just me. But, yeah, I thought that interaction in the zoo was... I'm like, okay, I guess I have to not think about that too hard. I thought the car chase was a little cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
How did Jep know the drone was going to send their data to, like, to everyone if he didn't even know that they existed to start with?
Mm-hmm.
because she's like, you didn't say they had drones. He's like, I didn't know they had drones, you know, like before his time. And then all of a sudden he's like, you got to lose this thing. It's sending our location all over the place. And it's like, well, how do you know that if you didn't even know that the drones existed? Right. So I'm just like, okay, it's, you know, it's fine. And then, yeah, how did they escape that? How did they get out from, you know, they literally had the last men on them pointing a gun at them and they didn't use it. And then when they did,
like the whole time the truck is driving through this barricade, there's guns pointed out. I was like, any of them would just shoot through the windshield. Like they're just standing there like, oh no, the truck's coming. What do we do? Stand here for a while and then get out of the way. And then when we get by and then they pass us, still don't shoot at them. Just let them drive away and go, oh shoot. Yeah.
Almost had them. They were right here. Yeah. Shoot the tires. I don't know. You have options. You don't have to be that good of a shot. Right. It's coming right at you. Yeah. So, yeah, there were some things I had to kind of...
Plot go, armor. Right. That's what that is.
For sure. Yeah, it's fine. I know we just had to get there. So, it's fine. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. That was actually one of my notes. I just had to call at least call that out and just talk about it for a minute, too. So, glad you did. Mm-hmm. You said that was your last point, and that was like one of my notes. Did you have anything else to add? You got any notes to talk about?
Yeah, let's see. A couple of random notes. I think you mentioned, that Jep learns from Amy that Gus was taken to the preserve, and then the house that Becky was in was burned down, and he doesn't know how any of them are faring at the moment. But yeah, like you mentioned, he says like, well, Becky's smart, so if she's smart, like I think she is, she got out of there. Amy left Jep's jacket behind at the plane, and he's a little pissed about it, but then Becky can find it later, and then she's down on that, but then also she's like, oh, well, there's tracks in the grass, let me follow it, which will lead you to the road, and then it's like, well, that's the end of where that's going to take you, now I just go down the road.
Right.
Doesn't really help too far, but we're good. One thing I noticed, a connection between the two episodes of this season so far, these first two, which is kind of sad, but also really cute. In the first episode, remember Wendy and the other kids asking, well, what about, who's this big man? And Gus is like, how do you know about big man? It's like, you talk in your sleep. And so in this episode, we have that same thing where Amy says, you know, you got to get back to Gus. And he goes, I never told you his name. You talk in your sleep. I was like, oh, that's kind of adorable. That's a bond, you know, that they have.
I didn't even put that together, but yeah, that's nice.
Let's see. Johnny. Yes, Johnny. Beans on toast, yeah. Because you're British. That's like, oh, okay. But also, something I noticed earlier on, because whenever he goes in and he's like chiding the kids for like, ooh, do y'all have a secret? Something's going on. And he says, I grew up with an older brother. And then later, while talking to Ronnie, he calls General Abbott. Oh, well, wait until Dougie gets back. I mean, Abbott gets back. Maybe that's why someone like Johnny is where he is in The Last Men. Is it nepotism, perhaps?
I didn't even put that together. Maybe we don't know that just yet, but it makes sense because I remember when he's like Dougie and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Would Abbott let just anyone call him Dougie?
Right.
Like, how well does he know him to call him Dougie? I didn't even put together that they could be maybe related, but that's a good point. Good pickup. I guess we'll see if that's that's true or not. But yeah, it makes sense.
And let's see. And I guess the last note I have, just Becky talking about her a little bit, where this small caravan that she encounters there heading towards wherever. She's just along for the ride to see if
they were going. Yeah.
Yeah. Just find. Maybe she's just like, I'm looking for some friends. It's like, well, who knows what route they would have taken, but just keep going down that road and we'll see what happens. She tries to steal some supplies. It gets caught. But luckily, the guy that catches her, seemingly pretty nice, and just invites her to join them on the journey. Although, you know, test her to make sure she's not sick. And I was like, man, those pinkies have some mad middle finger energy. Let me see your pinkies. Just the way they hold it, like, But
Yeah, there you go. I guess that would be, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. That would be a way, you know, be, not everyone's carrying around like those blood tests like the last men did. You kind of see the differences between that when they were doing all those tests when Amy was coming into the zoo disguised as the last men and what people, everyday people are having to do, like, show me your pinkies. And it took me a minute. I was like, why the hell do you want to see your pinkies? And it totally just, again, because it's been a hot minute to remember that that was kind of a tell that your, you know, pinky kind of shakes. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of, you know, see other groups out there. You know, we didn't get a whole lot. I have Becky as a note, too, just to add to that. We didn't see a whole lot of that, you know, about the people there. So, and, you know, their journey, where are they going? And, you know, I find it interesting to kind of meet different people from the world. So maybe we'll get something. Maybe we won't. I don't know. I know they kind of left us hanging with, like you said, with where Abbott was and those, you know, the three people he was supposed to meet. So I don't know. Everyone's all scattered. Got to get back together. All good things. All right. Anything else you want to say?
That's it. This episode? That's all I had.
All right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Well, with that being said, I have one just very quick news item. This came out, I think, just right after and probably like that night or the next day after we had recorded.
So I think I know what you're going to talk about. I think I saw this. Yeah.
Yeah, you probably did. And maybe most everyone has, because, again, it's been like a whole week since it came out pretty much. And that is Sweet Tooth was renewed for season 3. Mm-hmm. So, yay. That is really exciting. No date yet on when it will be released, so we don't know that yet. However, I read that season 3 has already filmed.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Now, do you know the other half of that announcement, that season 3 also is the final season?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I did see that part. Yes. Thanks for adding that. Season 3 has been announced, and while it has been announced, like Paik said, it is the final season. Mm-hmm.
Which, but it feels like it's not like it was canceled or like given a, oh, you got to wrap it up in one more. It feels like, because I mean, I haven't read all of them because I think I mentioned it last week. I stopped myself so I don't get ahead of myself covering the show. Right. But I own the entire compendium of Sweet Tooth, and it's not that ginormous. It's not that long. And so I think, it makes sense. Like, 3 seasons is what they plan on telling this story and wrapping it up. They don't want to just like drag it out and out and out and add whatever. So it makes sense. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I'm totally fine with it too. I was trying to find the article. It was from Variety and I think I deleted it. But I had saw that, yes, it was the final, and I'm pretty sure, and this is not a direct quote because I can't even find it at the moment, but it sounds like that they're getting to tell the story that they want, that they felt that it was going to be a 3-season show to be able to tell the story that they wanted. And, you know, whether or not that includes the entire story from the comics, I haven't read it either, so I don't know anything. But it sounds like that's what they're wanting, the showrunners and the people responsible. So if that's the case, then I'm totally fine with it, you know, because I'm a firm believer in writers getting to tell the story that they want in the time it takes them to tell it. You know, if it's a 3-season, if it's a 5-season, you know, take me on that journey, wrap it how you want to wrap it, not because you got canceled, you know, or you're having to rush it or whatever. then I'm totally for that.
And then also just the the ins and outs of filming things like this. I think a show like this is good to have a short runtime when a lot of the main cast are children, because kids and grow so fast. And so even if people were worried about, if it is in fact true that they already filmed season three, that sounds like a rush job. No, I think it's a smart move. Again, when you have kids in your cast, film as quick as you can before they look like way too old to be playing the role that they are. So it makes sense too.
Stranger Things.
Right.
I love that show so much, and no shade to like the, you know, but damn if those kids aren't going to be 30.
When they age, you know.
Show wraps.
So much between like a summer, and you're like, I don't buy that.
I think we've said it so many times in all the different shows and stuff that we've covered.
You're supposed to like grow like maybe podcasts. Like a couple inches over summer if you have a spurt, but like, he looks like he has a mortgage now.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I've always been a proponent of, man, if you're going to have kids on the show, try and get filming wrapped, which is pretty difficult right now. I know there's a writer's strike going on. Shout out to all the writers in the WGA. Yeah,
speaking of Stranger Things, that's one of the shows that has been postponed and pushed back because of that, which, and I've seen a lot of news about, which, man, tiny little soapbox moment. Man. When I get on Facebook and I see these articles like from studios and from like movie, like kind of like pages and stuff where they're like, well, this show's been postponed, and like they put like a negative spin on it. Like, oh, this dang strike, look what it's doing. But then I get a lot of good feelings when I go into the comments, and like 99% of the comments are all people going like, good, they deserve it. And it's like, yes, people understand. Like, you don't cross protest lines. You don't. So it's like, stand with the strikers and stand with the writers, because they deserve what they get for what they're doing. So
100%.
If anybody wondered, we here at Strange Indeed are strong proponents of this WGA strike. And yeah, give them what they want.
I say give them what they want, give them what they deserve. I'm slightly biased because my daughter could, if things had worked out the way she had wanted them to, and maybe one day she still will be if she can make it there, is she would have been a member of the WGA, you know, right now. So, of course, I'm a little biased on that side, but I've always been on the side. I've seen other, you know, we've had this before and seen how it's impacted. But, you know, we went through quite a period of time, whenever the pandemic kind of shut down a lot of production, and we were kind of hungry for content because everything got shut down because of that. And then since things have come back, we have had like a rich goodness of TV. Like there's so much content that I can't keep up with it at all.
Right.
There are so many shows on my list and things I'm trying to catch up on and watch and keep in my rotation. And it's because there's so much good TV right now. And where's it come from, y'all? You know, there's a lot of people, obviously, a part of that. But obviously, you wouldn't have any of it without the writers.
Yeah.
So I say, you know, give them what they want so they can keep giving us all of this amazing material.
I'm willing to wait longer for some of my shows to come back because workers' rights are more important.
And honestly, the positive spin I've put on it for myself is whatever delays happen gives me more time to get caught up on the stuff.
That too, yeah. Just got plenty of stuff to catch up on.
Trying to keep this selfish way of looking at it, but you know, I say give them what they want, but... I did find the article quickly just from Sweet Tooth talking about the third and final season, which, according to Variety, has already been filmed, you know, in New Zealand. So maybe we'll get it a little sooner, not like tomorrow or anything, but maybe we'll get it a little sooner. We'll have 2 more years to wait, which is what we waited from season one to get season two. So
kind of like that lock and key final 2 seasons didn't have that big of a gap between them because they were also filmed back to back. So
exactly. Yeah. They filmed them back to back. So according to showrunner and executive producer Jim Mickle, he says, in a lot of ways, it's exactly the story that I imagined we would tell. And in a lot of ways, it takes on its own life. At the beginning, I think you set out to tell these landmark pieces of Gus's story and the big pieces of the comic book. But the beauty of long-form storytelling in Gus's journey over 24 episodes is the characters themselves tell you what they want to be. The crew and cast bring so much depth and point of view to who the characters are and where they've come from and where they're going. So it sounds like, you know, he's telling it how they want to, and they're ending mm-hmm. it on their own terms, which...
It's awesome. I love that.
I love to hear it. So good for them. So that was a bit of news, you know, that I had, you know, for this week. Again, it's been out there. It wasn't like, you know, just announced. It was like last week.
Yeah.
And we had recorded since then, but wanted to make sure I put that out there. And I don't have any other news because, again, I don't want to go looking for anything because it's all out there since the show, you know, everyone else has probably already binged it by now. All right. Well, let's get into our listener feedback because I'm really curious to hear what our listeners have to say about this one. So do you want to take the first one for me?
All right. Sure. This one comes from Dawn Elizabeth. Says, I didn't write notes when I watched this episode, so hope I can remember things accurately. I enjoyed seeing more of Big Man's backstory and his meeting up with Amy. I sure hope they managed to get on the same page as far as rescuing the kids goes, though. Glad to see more of Bear and learn about her family. Looking forward to see where that goes. I wonder how this new group she's traveling with will tie in with everyone else. I'm wondering if Ronnie will put a stop to the experiments now that she found the drawing that Piglet made. I have a few comments on last episode as well. After listening to your podcast, I want to say a couple things. I'm not a huge fan of Bobby either, Rima. When he first showed up, I just thought the fact that he is totally animated or CGI was dumb, but he is growing on me as well. Since he's becoming an important member of the group, I hope that doesn't mean that his time is limited now. I'm not sure what to think of Johnny. He does seem to have a good heart, and I wondered why Abbott would leave someone like him in charge. So maybe what his soldiers said about him is true, that he can be someone to watch out for. Finally, in regards to the boat that Birdie found, I forgot to comment on my thought being that perhaps it is Noah's Ark. This may be really far out there, but with all the animals that were supposed to be aboard, if you believe this, not sure I do, but it's a TV show, so anything goes. Perhaps the ice sample they originally... tongue-tied. Perhaps the ice sample they originally took is tied in somehow. Looking forward to hearing what you and Paige have to say about this. That would be an interesting route to take it, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, you know, because it's based on a comic, comics can certainly tell some fantastical stories
yeah.
and go places that you wouldn't think. So, who knows? I'm glad folks are kind of coming around to Bobby. You know, I was thinking of it when I saw him this episode. I was like, yes, he's starting to grow on me, and he really is starting to remind me of the Teddy Ruxpin doll. I'm aging myself wildly here with that comment, but I was like, I was like just fascinated by the Teddy Ruxpin dolls growing up. So I was like, that's what it is. He reminds me of like this, like, fully formed, living, breathing Teddy Ruxpin
doll.
I know it's a different animal, yeah. but, you know.
But there's still. Maybe possibly a marketing idea, like WB, Netflix, Teddy Ruxpin. Bring it back, but make it a little Bobby doll. You just, like, squeeze him or pull a string or something. He goes, I am Bobby. And then you're like, oh, God. Never mind. This is a terrible idea.
No. I do think that they could have worked on his voice a little bit.
Right.
I mean, that's what threw me. Because they're supposed to be little kids.
He right.
doesn't quite sound like a little kid. But no. maybe that's the animal part. Like,
yeah.
he is still an animal. And maybe that's how his vocal cords work. I don't know. So maybe that's what got me. I was like, when you see this cute, cuddly little thing, and then he opens his mouth, and you're like, ah! That's a little scary. So maybe that's what it is. But, you know, he's a cute little thing. He just needs to not talk, maybe. Thanks, Don. Marine Favo says, I went back and watched nursery scene from the first episode. Lots of hybrid kids are from that scene. Owl, porcupine, monkey. Also, check out Marlon Williams, Johnny's IMDb. Really interesting credits. Lots of performing. Love, love, love Amy and Jet back and forth. Drone chase scene was so much fun. FYI, I'm Team Bobby. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Guess we're going to need to be patient since all of last week's questions remain. Who are the three? What does Abbott need them? Or why does Abbott need them? Sorry. What is Birdie doing in Alaska? Think there is a trip to Fort Smith coming? Who is the new scientist? Really liked ending montage pointing out transition because two episodes with kids captive is depressing. Glad we have characters in other locations. How much of season do you think will be at the zoo and with kids captive?
I don't know. Hopefully not too much longer.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's hard to watch. I don't enjoy seeing the kids like being fed, like I talked about it last week, being fed dog food. Yeah. I mean, that's just freaking depressing. I don't like it. It is depressing seeing the kids cooped up. I don't like watching them being badgered and mistreated by, what's the dude's name that's feeding them?
I don't even know.
Freaks. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, enough of this. I can't, it's too hard to watch. So I don't know. Hopefully by next episode, they have found a way and gotten a plan to escape.
Yeah.
Because, I can't take much more either. So I'm with you. Thanks, Maureen. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
All right. And then we have an email from Daphne.
Yay.
Says, hi, Rima and Paik. I'll admit it was hard to stop after episode 2 this week, but I did it.
Yay.
Even though it's darker, I'm appreciating that we get to see more Big Man's backstory. Although it could reveal unpleasant things that he has done in the past, I think it could also really show us how much he has grown as a person. It's kind of true to life that we don't want to think that we would do bad things, but when desperate situations arise, things change. It was wonderful seeing the hope in the kids' eyes when they thought rescue was imminent, but equally as sad to see their hopes dashed, even though I think it will be temporary. I love the teamwork in trying to free Bobby. I know some viewers find him creepy, but I find him so endearing. Hashtag Team Bobby. I think the most interesting thing about this episode is watching Ronnie start to discover things about where she is and what her husband is doing in an effort to save her life. Looking at the photo that Wendy drew for Amy really affected her. While I'm bummed Sweet Tooth will end with season 3, I think the showrunners have time to put the bow on it as a package. I read in Variety that the season is already filmed, so I'm glad Netflix is letting it go out on its own terms rather than leaving us hanging like previous shows or cancellations. Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. Yep, I saw the same, Daphne. And that is exciting, thinking that maybe we won't have as long to wait. Those are all really good points. Thank you for writing in. All right, and we did get a voice message this week from our good friend Rennie, and I think that this was feedback on episode 1, just for everyone's information. So I love Rennie. I'm really excited to see what she thinks about Sweet Tooth. So let's see what she has to say.
Rima, Paik, hello. I am wondering if you can clear up a huge mystery about this season of this show. How is it that these kids don't look any older than they did 2 years ago? It's weird.
Oh, and then that was it. Okay. I don't know that mystery. I don't know if I know the answer to that. Do you?
I don't know what the filming schedule was. I don't know because they didn't film 1 and 2. That close together.
I don't think so, but I can't say for sure. I don't, because I feel like everything was just quiet for a while.
Yeah. I can't speak for all the actors. I know Christian Convery that plays Gus just doesn't look like he has aged a whole lot because, I mean, he was also recently in Cocaine Bear with Kerry Russell and stuff like that. And I mean, he looks the exact same in that movie. So, I mean, like, and again, I don't know when that was filmed, but he's just, forever youthful. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good point. Maybe the creators and people behind Sweet Tooth have like this magical potion to be able to keep the kids from aging or something. And if they do, then let's share that with the rest of the world. Because as we were just talking about, like with shows like Stranger Things, as just much as what I love, it's just really hard sometimes to watch. And you're just like, that's just more than 1 year that like these kids have aged up in school. Like, you know, it's sometimes hard to let that get in the way sometimes. Yeah. Thankfully the show's really great, so it does make a difference. But yeah, I don't know.
I but did have that same thought too, a little bit, where I'm just like, yeah, they don't look any different from season one. So I did, that did occur to me as I'm watching. I'm like, yeah, they do look exact same. So I'm not sure.
I'll have to see if I can get some info on, like, maybe when season two was filmed or something, you know, because it's so hard. And it's a challenge. Look, I get it. Kids just grow up and they change and, you know, it's what's supposed to happen. But golly, you know, when you see all the, you know, how long it takes to get, you know, shows back on air and kids are growing faster. I know we have, you know, we're going to have the same thing when House of the Dragon comes back. You know, there were kids on that show and, you know, when they come back and it's just going to be like, okay, we're going to just pretend, you know, they're the same size.
Maybe just like in the Game of Thrones tradition, they'll just recast all of them.
Recast between seasons. Yeah. They'll just, sorry, we're just going to pretend that actor wasn't here for that season.
Or you can always go back to what Dean something, whatever, that played Tommen, that he was also just played like another Lannister kid, like in a season or two before. Like, right. He was just like, he was already in the show, and they're like, oh yeah, bring that kid back to play the next.
Exactly. I don't know. Thanks, Rennie, for calling in. That I don't know that we were very helpful because it's a mystery to us as well. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. We always love hearing from you, so please keep that up. There are posts for all of our episodes up. As you know, if you're watching ahead, you can leave that at any time, and we'll definitely add it to that week's recording. So next week for us, we're going to be covering season 2, episode 3 of Sweet Tooth, titled Chick or Egg. I'm guessing a question of which came first.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Because it goes back to something you were saying earlier. Well, yeah, the which came first. But instead of the chicken and the egg, you know, question, which came first, the hybrid or the virus? Maybe we get that answer.
Maybe. Chicken or egg? I said chick. Sorry. My bad.
I don't
chicken
know.
Chicken or egg. Did I say it was a long day? Or it had been a long day? Chicken or egg, sorry. I think it works either way. But so yeah, that's what I thought whenever I saw that title. I'm like, oh, I guess it's maybe we're going to, now that we've got this information now about Fort Smith, and are we gonna get to go there? Are they, you know, with Addie being with the First Men, and they can pretty much go wherever they want, right? Are they gonna, is that close by? You know, I don't know.
I don't know.
Be interesting if we get to go and find out and get some answers.
Yeah. Well, if you would like to leave us a message, like Rima said, all of those feedback posts are on our Facebook page. You can find those for each episode. But then if you want to do the voicemails, emails, all that stuff, you can find the contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out all of our shows. There's something for everyone. If you're into, Yellow Jackets, recording full force on Yellow Jackets right now. The Last of Us was covered.
From is going right now with
From
Alex and
just
Lizzie.
Came back. Yes.
That show has been so good. It's such a little known show, but
it just does
season
not get
two
enough.
Is incredible so far. So yeah, definitely check
it
out
does
that
not
show.
Get a, exactly. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. I don't think it gets enough marketing. Mm-hmm. I don't think enough people know about it. But yeah, I know that Alex and Liz are doing a fantastic job. And I know we talked about it, I think, last week. They're getting some fantastic interviews. Mm-hmm. They are just knocking it out over there. So a lot of great things to check out on Podcastica. Also, I don't know that we've talked about it very often. There's a newer podcast that was brought onto Podcastica called It's Showtime, Folks. Yeah. And that's where it's just strictly like movies. I mean, we've done movies. Here on Strange Indeed, you and Daphne cover movies on Run for Your Lives. So lots of Podcastica podcasts have covered movies, but this one is dedicated solely to movies.
Yeah, there's no like specific genre bubble that it's got to fit in. Just
exactly.
When Podcastica hosts want to talk about a movie, new or old, that's where it's going to be.
Yeah, there's great stuff on there because, yeah, there's been very old movies covered. There's, you know, some classics, you know, Kristen, Mark, and I covered Tombstone was the last one released. And, oh, love that movie. And then there's been some great like Oscar contenders, you know, mm-hmm. nominated movies that have been recently covered. So a little something for everyone. It's just kind of like, what are we feeling? What are we inspired to cover is, you know, kind of where we're going with that one. So that one's been a lot of fun. Perfectly Marvelous, you know, a podcast for, you know, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is doing really fantastic, and they're having mm-hmm. a great time with that one. And of course, like I mentioned, Run for Your Lives.
Yeah.
Do you have something fun that you want to tease us with this week?
So we're still on our break for right now, but we are returning Friday, May 19th. Will be Yay. The first episode of the new season, which is my birthday also. So that'll be fun. But there actually was a bonus episode put up this last weekend. Again, and I might have mentioned this last week also, because I went to that Tremors Festival in Santa Fe. So we now have an episode up where me, Daphne, and Levi from the Talking Tremors podcast, who was also there, kind of break down the weekend. Me and Levi talk about a lot of our experiences and interactions and connections and fun times, and Daphne gets to just kind of ride along and ask us questions, and it was a lot of fun. So if you want to know about that weekend and kind of stuff that was going on, check out that episode now, and then we'll be back May 19th with the official start of the new season. Still not going to tease what the movie is that we're starting with, but it's a fun one for sure.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And so much fun. I can't wait to give that one a listen, because I know that I had definitely teased a lot of info about like what your trip was like, and we talked offline about it, but I feel like I'm going to have to listen so I can get more details about that weekend, because it looked
of
amazing.
Tremors technical nerdiness. I mean, we got to meet and talk with a lot of the cast and the directors and writers and editors of those movies. And so there's a lot of technical conversations and stuff on there. But if you're interested on it, it's really cool. Yeah.
I nerd out on that stuff. I love hearing all about that stuff. I love how, you know, learning, you know, how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
You know, that's fascinating to me. So I'm really excited for you that you got to experience that. So it's fun. Yeah. Go check out all of our awesome podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, while you're checking all that out, find, you know, Strange Indeed and all those other ones. If you find what you like, make sure to give us some love. Give us reviews, ratings, subscribe, follow, whatever it is you can do on your podcast player of choice. That really helps us a lot to just keep spreading the love and sharing our podcasts out there for everybody to find and hear.
Yeah, please and thank you in advance.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. That is our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Until next time. I'm Rima.
And I'm Paik.
And Sarah Martucci is Strange Indeed.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.